A leading team of coral researchers has found that the frequency of coral bleaching events is dramatically increasing around the world. The average time between bleaching events at the same reef has shrunk from an average of once every 25 to 30 years in the 1980s to once every 6 years since 2010. And there's a risk that bleaching events could take place every year in the next few decades. The stark findings from the researchers at James Cook University, the ARC Centre for Excellence for Coral Reef Studies, are published in the journal Science. Professor Andrew Baird is one of the report's authors. He's here with me on RN Summer Breakfast. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Matt.
Now, the frequency of severe coral bleaching events has increased fivefold in 4 decades. Can you start by explaining what bleaching is and what it means for coral reefs? Because it doesn't mean that the coral is necessarily dead when it bleaches, does it?
Not necessarily, no. But in this situation, and in particular on the Great Barrier Reef over the last few years, mortality was very high. But so coral bleaching is a general stress response. You can make an individual colony bleach by heating it up, by cooling it down. Fresh water will cause it to bleach. Any number of different stresses, pollution, sediment. But the large-scale bleaching events that we've looked at in this study are almost invariably caused by hotter than normal seawater temperatures.
Okay, what is happening to the coral when it bleaches? It's something to do with its algae, isn't it?
That's right. So a coral is a symbiotic organism. It includes the coral host that contains endosymbiotic algae that photosynthesize. And so what the stresses do to this organism is they break down the communication between those two organisms, and the coral host expels the algae. And so it goes from being a colourful organism to one that's pale white, and hence the description bleached.
Yeah, because it's the algae that gives it the colour. Is that right?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. How many reefs have you been analysing as part of this research, and over what time frame have you been looking at them?
Well, we went back to the earliest records of mass coral bleaching, which are in the 1980s, and we divided the globe into 100 regions, which include most of the areas of the Earth that support coral reefs. So it is a global analysis.
What is it that, which of the world's reefs have been most frequently hit by coral bleaching events? Is the situation at the Great Barrier Reef the most serious one?
No, I think what we're seeing on the Great Barrier Reef has been replicated in a large proportion of those 100 regions. Certainly the Caribbean has been very badly hit. But what we're seeing on the Great Barrier Reef over the last couple of years is amongst the worst. I suppose the other point to make about the study is that there are no regions that haven't been affected by bleaching. So in addition to most regions being affected more frequently, there's no hiding from coral bleaching.
And the frequency is the key problem, isn't it? Because a coral can recover if it's given enough time, but if there's another bleaching event in a short period of time, then it will be unable to recover.
Yeah, exactly. As you said earlier, the corals don't necessarily die, but more often than not, they will if they bleach. And so for a reef to recover, you need an input of new corals, and so they need to come from elsewhere, and they need to grow and reproduce, and that process takes time, yes.
We're hearing this morning that a major crown of thorns starfish outbreak has been discovered at the southern end of the Great Barrier Reef. These starfish eat through the coral. How bad is that damage likely to be on its own and in comparison to bleaching?
Look, that's interesting. I mean, I haven't heard that the outbreak had reached the southern reefs, but it's an ongoing phenomenon. These outbreaks typically take, 3 to 5 years to sort of move their way the length of the Great Barrier Reef. The crown of thorns can do extraordinary damage as well. Previous studies of the relative damage done by these different disturbances have suggested that crown of thorns historically caused more damage than bleaching. But I think the 2015 and 2016 events have changed that balance, and now bleaching is the major threat to reefs.
Okay. How are different countries responding to this trend towards increased numbers of bleaching events?
Yeah, a good question. I mean, there's still lots that can be done on the local scale, and on the Great Barrier Reef, governments have put a lot of money into improving water quality, which can actually improve the prognosis for recovery. But I think the bottom line is that we're not doing enough anywhere. It's a global problem. We know what is causing it, and that's what we need to address, and it needs to be addressed on a global scale.
Even if we are able to, you know, take action on climate change, are we already at a point where the damage to the reefs is going to be unreversible?
Yeah, look, I hope not, but I suspect that we already have moved to a point where the reefs that we've known over the last 50 years are unlikely to come back as we knew them. I think there's certain species that we're going to lose. Again, I think the point we make in the paper is that we still have a window of time in which to act. And if we can act quickly and effectively, there is a chance for reefs into the future.
What is that window?
Can't give you exact, but I'd say 5 to 10 years. I think the consensus is if we can limit temperature increases to less than 2 degrees Celsius, then there's a chance that we'll see reefs into the future. If not, probably not, or they'll be very different.
We know that scientists are currently breeding new types of corals designed to resist global warming. Is that a potential solution?
No, it's not. It's yet to be achieved for a start. And even if you can breed up one or two species that are temperature resistant, there's no way that those one or two species can replace the ecosystems that we know of as coral reefs.
This morning, the Trump administration has announced that it's moving to vastly expand offshore drilling from the Atlantic to the Arctic oceans, including opening up federal waters off the coast of California. For the first time in more than 3 decades, is this likely to have an immediate effect on the rate of coral bleaching there and elsewhere?
Look, I think any additions of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere are going to be bad. Again, it's impossible to say exactly what impact a particular development will have on the frequency of coral bleaching, but look, it's heading in the wrong direction. We really need to be transitioning to a non-fossil fuel economy as soon as possible.
You're saying that the action of actually drilling is not particularly damaging, it's more the effect of the oil that will come out of the ground?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you drill a reef, you're going to do localised damage. But no, I think, it's definitely the products burning the carbon and the oil that are the issue.
Obviously, the Trump administration is not in favour of making a huge amount of change in order to address global warming, but are you encouraged by the actions that you've seen from other countries like China?
It's a little bit outside my area of expertise, but I think many nations, and I think the European nations in particular, are making the transition, and that's what needs to happen, and needs to happen everywhere as soon as possible.
All right. A number of Australians are working to regrow coral by spreading coral eggs, a spawning process. Is that going to assist in any way?
No. It's way too small scale to repair the damage that is done. The length of the Great Barrier Reef, the time and energy, and also the breeding stock that you require to reseed a reef on the scale of a tennis court is extraordinary. And to scale that up to repair the Great Barrier Reef, it's just impossible. It's completely fanciful.
How do you personally feel having to do these repeated interviews over the years about coral bleaching, and do you feel like talking about it in forums such as this is helping?
I hope so. there's not much more we can do. I mean, it's disappointing. Coral reef scientists have been saying for 30, 40 years now that annual bleaching events could be a possibility unless we address climate change. So it's a little bit disappointing. But, human folly is an extraordinary thing.
Is anything giving you hope on this?
Look, to be honest, not much. I've just come back from a week on Lizard Island, and the scale of the damage up there is extraordinary. I swam the circumference of the island, 18 kilometres, and could count the number of breeding colonies on two hands. I've never seen anything like the scale of damage, and it's difficult to be positive.
Right. It's concerning talking to you this morning, Andrew, but thank you for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, Matt.
That's Professor Andrew Baird from the ARC Centre of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies at James Cook University.